Dive in the end. Paul Semin, the man who Durham was...
Sorry, Fish.
Going to
no,
leave
I got
out,
him four. Got him four.
Putting him at number four in the top players of the modern era. Should've joins us on the phone. How are you, Fish?
I'm excellent, thanks, Otto, and I appreciate that, Durham. Wow, I don't know what you've been smoking, mate, but I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, well, if you hadn't have stolen that Lark medal off me in the Teal Cup, I would have had you higher.
That's where it came from.
I've asked you forgiveness in the past, mate. I don't know how it works. Do whatever you want it, mate.
Whatever happened to that lad, Brett Dawson?
That's a good question. You should have a segment, whatever happened to. I think Slug got in his head and ruined him.
Yeah,
so
you better tell us.
Okay, the story was, I think Slug had that ability, didn't he?
You go with it. You were number 15, I think, in the Teal Cup.
I can't recall, Ben, but I take your word for it, mate. I can't recall.
Well, you were either 15 or 16, and the lad who was Melbourne under 19 first ruck was named was Dawson as Dawson, and he played the first half and dominated. And Fish came on and played a really good second half, and the umpires gave the votes out and they said, gee, that number 15 or what was it, number 16, she had a great four quarters, didn't he? Got three votes and he's pipped me by a vote in the Lark medal at the end of the carnival.
Oh, that's right. No, that's probably pretty much how it went. Durham, you were the clear best player in that carnival, mate, in Victoria. I did get lucky in that first game and I felt so guilty about it, yeah, but I've got a genuine best on the next game, but I've had to live with that, sir. I mean,
I only kicked 8 in that next game too, yeah.
Right.
Just you were clear, mate.
Fish, it's Moons here. Just when you look at, and congratulations on being nominated in both lists, obviously the Herald Sun and Dermot's. When you look at the top...
And Hawthorns.
And Hawthorns, of course. Yeah. When you look at the top 20, particularly the top 3, 4, 5, have they got it right?
Oh, look, it's a very subjective exercise, isn't it? I don't think they've got... I've had a quick look, obviously, and I think it's a solid list. I mean, there's always conjecture with these things because people have their favourites and they're drawn to certain players for certain reasons, but you can't argue with the top 7 in terms of service to the club, what they did over a long period of time for the club, in big games in particular. So, look, I think it's fairly accurate. I think, you know, obviously, Hurdy and Lloydie speak for themselves. I think Gavin was still... I mean, there's a great conversation around who you think the best Indigenous footballer was you played with or against, and Gavin's number one in my eyes. So I don't disagree with him sitting at number 3. Long has been my favourite player forever as a bloke and as a footballer. I could ramble on, but I think it's pretty close to the mark, and I'm very flattered to be 8th, by the way. But you know, it's from 10 to 20, it gets a really difficult equation.
I know you probably haven't studied it in depth, but is there a player, say, from 8 onwards who you think's been a little bit underrated, or maybe over the years has been underrated, who you played with, or just from your observation, who you thought, gee, maybe they've been a little bit undervalued?
That's a kind of long list, Hutto, because they played in a couple of pretty good eras there. The 1993 side had a lot of young players who came through, but probably didn't go on with their careers, and I don't want to sound too harsh, but you've got folks like, you know, Paul Hills was playing his best footy maybe at 19 in the 93 Premiership. Ricky Olerenshaw maybe played his best footy in that window of 2 or 3 years there as well. Kelthorpe. So I know I'm going off, I'm digressing a little bit, but so our good sides were made up of taking full advantage of players playing unknowingly, and it's only in retrospect you know that they probably were playing their best footy through that window. It's a hard one naming names along the way, but I came back in 2002 to play in a side that was coming off the back of a lot of angst around 2001, of course, losing to Brisbane after leading at half-time. You know, salary cap dramas, 4 players being shipped off at different clubs in Blumfield and Carousella and Hardwick, and I think there was another one as well. So,
Heffernan.
Yeah, it was trying times for the club at that time, and but lots of great players. I was very fortunate that period to play with some super talent.
So, Paul, now let's be honest. Kevin Sheedy didn't coach a gentleman. He took a gentleman into the club, but then he would turn them into dirty, rotten mongrels. Now, give me your top 5 dirtiest Essendon players of all time. Let's make a new list, and you should have no problem coming up with candidates. Who's the dirtiest you've played with at Essendon?
I don't think that's right. I don't think the title is dirtiest. I don't know, the naughtiest. There are a lot of naughty boys.
Probably. Oh, yeah, a lot naughty, like Robert DiPiedomenico naughty, hey?
Yeah, that's called naughty boys.
Okay.
I, when I first came into the club, Sheed was revelling in the fact he had plenty of soldiers that he could send into battle and do the work for him. Duckworth was naughty. Steve Carey was naughty, Merv Nagel was naughty, Roger Merritt was a bit naughty at times.
He was supremely naughty, Roger. Who else? Harves?
Harvey was, he was naughty 24-7.
Wally?
In a lovely sort of way. Dean Wallace was up there with naughty occasionally. Look, there's... Geez,
Bomber Kung Fu kicked me once on the ground.
Who did?
Bomber.
Well, that's what Sheed loved about Bomber. Bomber had this sort of halo above his head because he was, I don't know, he's just like that suburban boy that, and Sheed could always count on him to sort of, he was kind of the cavalry. We had it online. It made, I didn't have to be too naughty because when I took the field with Roger Merritt and Terry Danaher standing next to me in the forward line and Vander, Paul Vander, of course, was never too far away. I'm 6'9", but I walked 10'9". On the footy field at times, and sometimes my teammates were my own worst enemies because there was no your pardons. If you got in their way, it didn't matter what jumper you were wearing.
I tell you what, Terry Danaher, also for one of the world's great guys, wasn't against turning around and punching you fair in the gob if he felt like it, which he did do to me once.
Yeah, Terry was as brave and as hard as they come, and his career's stuff of legends that... I've never seen anyone leading up. As I was leading up out of the goal square, I'd look downfield, of course, to see what gaps I was running into. And the amount of times I saw Terry running towards me with the flight of the ball, with his eyes on the ball, it was breathtaking. And I don't think I played anyone braver than Terry Danaher, that's for sure.
Do you realise most of these Essendon players were doing what every other player in the AFL probably wanted to do to you?
You really did. Thank you, man. You really did.
Coming from Hawthorn people.
Well, Moons, I tell you, Dermot, and I know Dermot's attitude towards Hawthorn has been strong. And those days were really intense. It was a genuine mutual distaste, respectful distaste for Hawthorn Footy Club. But Steve loved them, and he loved Dermot to bits. And I remember Dermot nearly killed a teammate of mine on the field, not more than once, of course. At this particular time, it was Paul Hamilton out at Waverley. And being the nearest to the incident, I did a quick 360 to see who else could go and remonstrate, but it had to be me. I thought I'd do the courteous thing and grab the jumper. I said, Dermot, Sid's expecting something from you. And he grabbed me by the throat. And he said, are you sure you want to do this, Sid? I couldn't actually get any words out because he had my throat so tight. And I kind of shook my head in the no motion. And he just released slowly. And said, let's get back into it then. So I wasn't a man for the job at the time. But Dermot just was a... Wonderful at Sheed loved him. I mean, this is just this
you
is
were a rarity.
Affair.
You were a rarity at Essendon. You were a lover, not a fighter. Sheed loved the fighters.
I did go looking for the footy as best I could, mate. And even as hard as I tried, Sheed actually used to wind me up sometimes, and it was to no avail. But because it wasn't top of mind. But guys like Dean Wallace playing in the front half with him in the 93 grand final, we took out Mill Hanna. I felt that hit from 30 metres away. And, it was a different brand of football back then, and maybe I was better suited to today's brand of footy, but it was a hell of a time to play.
Hey, Fish, with the hatred of Essendon and Hawthorn, how was the trade, or how was the swap over? How did that go?
Oh, because from my perspective, it was pretty good, Moons. I mean, I grew up backing for Hawthorn, so when I went into the rooms and I walked down the corridor of Glenfree Oval and I saw the pictures and paintings of all my heroes on the wall. I was pretty chuffed. It took me a little while because fairness to Hawthorn, I don't think a lot of people there thought I had much left to offer at 31. So, I had my work cut out. A very quick anecdote was the trainers had this night where about 100 of their support staff came in, trainers and other their families and stuff, for a barbecue. And I loved the way Hawthorn went about their business in relation to the family club. It was very much a truism. And as is often the case in these situations, a lot of the boys stand in the corner. But I thought I'd go and test the waters. I've only been there 3 or 4 weeks. And I went and sat at the first table of supporters and I just introduced myself and I said I was here to work hard and hopefully I could play some good footy for them and told them about Barrack Hawthorn when I was a kid. And I've got to be honest, I could hear crickets at the table. and there wasn't a lot coming back my way. And I did this to 12 tables. And slowly but surely they gathered around. We started talking footy and about the Hawthorn Essendon days and rivalry and so forth. And I suppose when I started to come good and got my body right and started to play good footy, these people became my little personal army of supporters behind the scenes. And it was an exercise that is fascinating and just the social element to the footy club. And they embraced me and I had the five, and I'm not saying this lightly, I had the five best years of my football life from a personal and perspective that I could possibly imagine. So you love the club dearly at Hawthorn, that's for sure.
Are you aware that Alan Jeans tried to move heaven and earth to get you to Hawthorn in 1986?
No, that didn't filter through to me. Fitzroy had a crack back in 86 when I was coming back off a knee injury. And, it was an interesting time. So I wasn't aware that Alan... But Alan came up to me when I got to Hawthorn and mentioned that he said some nice things about wanting to meet the club for a period of time. But, didn't know about that.
Yeah, he always needed a ruckman. So he was very keen on getting you to the club. I'm surprised that never got through to you. But unfortunately, Essendon just wouldn't deal with Hawthorn.
it would have been much harder to go Essendon to Hawthorn in 86 than it was in 96, that's for sure.
Yeah. Fish, great to chat with you. It always is to hear your voice again. And what a wonderful servant you were for both clubs. And great to reminisce a little and chat about some of the greats at the Bombers, even with someone who hated them so much like Derm. Good to chat.
I'm starting to love
it. Nice to hear your voices too, boys.
Paul Salmon. Great man joining us there on the line.